All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services Inc. second quarter results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services Inc. Please go ahead, Mr. Halyk.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to our second quarter 2016 conference call. Present with me this morning is Yulia Gorbosh, Total's Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 and 6 months ended June 30th, 2016. We will then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for any questions. Yulia, please proceed.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian Provincial Securities Authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued yesterday. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total's financial results for the 3 months ended June 30, 2016 reflect difficult industry conditions compounded with spring breakup. Consolidated revenues for the second quarter of 2016 were $43.9 million, a 39% decrease from second quarter of 2015. Compression and process services contributed 84% of 2016 second quarter revenues, rental and transportation services 14%, and contract drilling services 2%, as compared to relative contributions of 78%, 19%, and 3% in 2015. Revenue per spot to release operating day in our contract drilling segment during the second quarter was $12,981, a 23% decrease from the $16,865 per day realized during the 2015. This decrease was due primarily to lower spot market pricing, as the company had no drilling rigs under term fixed price contracts during this period. Segmental EBITDA was negative $0.3 million for the second quarter of 2016 compared to $0.5 million or 21% of revenue for Q2 of 2015. Within the rentals and transportation services segment, severe price competition resulted in significant declines in equipment utilization and segmental revenue. Second quarter rental equipment utilization decreased 47% to 10% in 2016 compared to 19% in 2015. Segmental revenue per utilized piece of rental equipment for the second quarter of 2016 decreased 15% compared to the same period in 2015. Segmental EBITDA for the second quarter of 2016 was negative $0.9 million compared to $2.9 million or 21% of revenue in 2015. This decline resulted from low equipment utilization and pricing as compared to 2015, and the fact that costs did not decline in proportion to the decline in segment revenue. This segment has relatively high fixed cost structure as compared to companies' other business segments. Such fixed cost structure includes costs associated with its significant operating branch infrastructure, such as utilities, insurance, property taxes, rent, as well as depreciation expense on its equipment that is recorded on a straight-line basis and is not correlated to levels of activity. Second quarter revenue within our compression and process services segment decreased 34% in the second quarter of 2016 compared to 2015. The segment generated $3.9 million of EBITDA in the second quarter of 2016 compared to $11.6 million in 2015. Segmental second quarter EBITDA margins declined by 663 basis points as compared to 2015 due to a 58% decrease in quarter end compression horsepower and rent, as well as competitive pricing. This segment exited second quarter of 2016 with a $35.9 million backlog of fabrication sales orders as compared to $68 million at June 30, 2015, and $48.9 million at December 31, 2015. The timeline for conversion of such sales backlog into revenue varies from order to order and often changes due to factors outside of company's control. Included in December 31, 2015 and June 30, 2016 backlog is an $8.1 million order reported to be canceled without payment of the prescribed cancellation fee. Legal action has been taken to enforce such contract, and no revenue has or will be recorded in respect of such order until resolution. As of June 30, 2016, the total horsepower of compressors on rent was approximately 12,000 as compared to approximately 28,900 as of June 30, 2015. The compression rental fleet experienced an average utilization of 30% and 33% based on fleet horsepower, respectively, during the 3 and 6 months ended June 30, 2016, as compared to 69 and 73% for the same periods in 2015. Consolidated gross margin as a percentage of revenue for the second quarter was 15% as compared to 24% for the same period in 2015. The lower gross margin realized in 2016 compared to 2015 is the result of CDS and RTS segments contributing a lower portion of consolidated revenue in 2016 as compared to 2015, as these segments historically generate a higher gross margin percentage than CPS segment. Lower pricing in all three segments during 2016 as compared to 2015 also contributed to the lower realized gross margin. Consolidated cash flow before changes in non-cash working capital items was $1.8 million for the second quarter of 2016 as compared to $6.5 million in 2015. The decrease in cash flow was due primarily to decreased operating earnings, which was partially offset by reduced income tax payments. Consolidated EBITDA for the second quarter of 2016 was $1.4 million and a 90% decrease from 2015 comparable quarter. Low activity levels and resulting lower EBITDA margins in all segments contributed to this decrease. Consolidated net loss for the second quarter ended June 30, 2016 was $4.2 million. This move from operating income to an operating loss was a result of a decreased business activity and lower pricing in all three segments that was not fully offset by proportionate cost reductions. Total's energy financial condition remains very strong, with a $79.4 million as of June 30 of 2016 as compared to $90.3 million of working capital at December 31st, 2015. Shareholders' equity decreased by $9.3 million during the first half of 2016 due to the realization of a net loss and continued payment of dividends. Total bank debt at June 30, 2016 consists of a $47.8 million term loan that is secured by approximately 60% of our owned real estate. This debt is amortized over 20 years, bears interest at fixed annual rate of 3.06%, and requires monthly principal and interest payments of $278,800, at the end of five-year term in May 2020, approximately $40.2 million of principal will be outstanding. With the exception of the real estate that secures this term loan, all of Total's capital assets are available to support future borrowings as might be required. Total's $65 million of written line of credit was undrawn at June 30, 2016, and that remains the case today. Such operating line is secured by company's working capital. Total's bank covenants consist of a debt-to-equity ratio of not greater than 2.5:1 and a current ratio of at least 1.3:1. At June 30, 2016, Total's debt-to-equity ratio was 0.11:1 and its current ratio was 4.33:1.
Thank you, Yulia. Difficult industry conditions continued through the second quarter and were compounded by spring breakup in Canada. Activity levels in our contract drilling services and rental and transportation services segments were at historic lows, in part due to our determination not to pursue unprofitable work. During the second quarter, we completed two separate acquisitions at a total cost of $5.1 million to bolster our rental and transportation services segment and segment's presence in North Dakota. Included in these acquisitions was an operating facility located in Watford City, where our North Dakota operations are being consolidated. Our compression and process services segment's efforts over the past several years to develop a meaningful presence in Australia have begun to bear fruit. Earlier this year, we received a $7.3 million order for gas compression equipment from an intermediate Australian natural gas producer, and in late July, we received a $21.3 million compression order from a large Australian producer. We are optimistic that further business opportunities will emanate from this region. While the improvement in commodity prices during the second quarter led to an improvement in industry sentiment, oil prices remain volatile and significant industry uncertainty exists. As such, Total Energy continues to focus on improving the efficiency of existing operations, pursuing sensible business opportunities, and declining unprofitable business, protecting our financial strength and liquidity, and evaluating opportunities to grow our company. In navigating through these difficult times, we continue to take steps to align ourselves with stable and reputable business partners so as to mitigate the negative consequences of counterparty defaults and to better position our company for the eventual recovery. While difficult times call for difficult measures, I'm proud of the fact that our people have not compromised on the quality or safety of our operations or the integrity in which we do business. Total Energy is ready, willing, and able to ramp up operations when our industry is ready to go back to work. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from John Bereznicki of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bereznicki.
Hey, just wondering what you're seeing in the rental market in terms of attrition, you know, as far as some of the smaller private competitors out there. I'm just kind of curious if that's maybe intensified through the second quarter.
I would say that we're definitely seeing an acceleration of attrition on both sides of the border in the rental and transportation side, and I expect that to continue to accelerate over the next several months.
Great. And I know in the last few quarters you've been more biased to U.S. acquisitions on that front. Is that still the case in your mind?
Yes.
Okay. And then just wondering if you could give us a little more color on the latest Australian order in the compression business.
So as you know, we've been over in Australia for, I was over there personally about 3.5 years ago, and you know, that market has taken longer to open up for us than, you know, than maybe everyone hopes. But, you know, we've had a steady, stable, cost-effective presence there, and it's starting to bear substantive fruit. And, you know, we're very pleased, obviously, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the call, John, you know, earlier in the year, we received a $7.3 million order that's currently being completed for an intermediate Australian producer. You know, this $21.3 million order post June 30 is from a very large producer. And, you know, if we do a good job, you know, obviously we're showing that we can compete in that market, and I'm very optimistic our people will do an excellent job and demonstrate that we should hopefully get some more work over there.
Great color. Thanks, Dan. And is there any Nomad equipment in those orders?
I'm not going to comment specifically what's in the orders, but, you know, there's a fairly wide range of equipment, but, you know, some very big stuff, and pretty hesitant to comment on specifics given that there's ongoing competitive bid situations in that marketplace.
Fair enough. Thanks again. That's it for me.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. The following question is from Ian Gillies of First Energy. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ian.
I just want to follow on John's question about Australia quickly. Are you able to provide, I guess, any sort of detail around when you expect to recognize the revenue from that contract order? I mean, it's large and probably going to be quite lumpy. So is it going to be mostly in Q1 17, or is it going to be evenly spread through the next few quarters? So how should we be thinking about that?
You know, what I would say is we currently expect it to be completed by Q1. And so under our percentage completion, which we adopted, Julia, what, about 4 years ago?
2010.
So historically, we would recognize revenue on completion, which made it really lumpy. Now we recognize it as percentage of completion. So you will see that roll out over the next three quarters, basically,
okay.
Which is the case with all of our, you know, orders. The revenue is recognized as the units are completed on percentage completion. And like I said, you know, current schedules for completion by Q1. Again, you know, we would expect that to stick, but you never know with these things. But currently, that's the expectation. And we're not going to update every order if there's, you know, delays, if there's modifications or something. But, you know, what we're trying to do is give you a sense that we have a very substantive presence outside of Canada.
Okay. That's actually very helpful. So thanks very much. With respect to acquisitions, I mean, I think across the whole space, they've been slower to develop than most people have expected. And under the scenario that no meaningful acquisitions appear or the valuation gap doesn't come in, how do you think about deploying organic capital moving forward to perhaps try and ouster some of these smaller competitors or capture market share?
Well, I think what we're seeing in the rigs and the rental business are many operators offering their products and services at astonishing prices. And this isn't just small operators. This is very large ones as well. And so our expectation is the equipment fleet in the industry will be in severe state of disrepair, and perhaps a lot of it will not be able to return to work when things ramp up. And so, you know, we're declining certain acquisition opportunities based on the quality and nature of the asset base. You know, the pricing is actually not the issue. It's our view. We're looking ahead a year from now and going, you know, do we want to put money into that? And so, you know, we're going to balance doing acquisitions. Again, our focus is always on the asset base. And it comes down to, is that an asset base we'd rather own or compete with? And again, given the, you know, we're seeing ridiculous pricing in rigs where we are knowingly giving up work. Because the pricing is simply beyond what we can live with. And so we've given up market share there. We've definitely given it up in the rental space. The flip side is you get what you pay for, and you know, these fleets that people are working at where they're not covering their costs, that catches up with you, and those are fleets that we're not interested in owning. So we'll let them wear it out, and when there's a reasonable margin to be had, we'll come back to work. And in the meantime, we'll acquire good assets, and you know, we're not afraid to pull the trigger for good quality assets.
Okay. And with that prior comment in mind, on prior conference calls, you had noted that you may try and capture some additional market share back in the rentals division. Has that strategy more or less been put on hold given continued deterioration of pricing?
You know, it's selective. I think it depends on the nature of the equipment, the customer, and who the competitors are. And so, you know, we are, first of all, we're not interested in working for people that can't pay their bills. You know, so we're not going to aggressively go after that work. Secondly, you know, things with moving parts tend to have a shorter shelf life, and you're seeing pricing that our view is, you know, let that play out over a few quarters, and then the competitive landscape will be materially different. And thirdly, you know, we are focusing our effort on players that we believe are good partners. And this is both on customers and suppliers. You know, we're shortening our supplier base. You know, just anecdotally, yesterday we got a letter from one of the provincial governments, you know, where a supplier of ours has been garnished by them. And so we're very sensitive to our supply chain, just like we expect our customers are. And the last thing we want to do is you know, deal with counterparties where, you know, creditors come in and seize their assets. And so we're monitoring not just customer risk, but supplier risk, and smart customers of ours are doing the same. And we see that in all divisions, and, you know, particularly larger projects and larger customers are a little more focused on that.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. I'll turn the call back over.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. The following question is from John Gibson of CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
I know you've touched a little bit on it, but I'm just wondering if you could talk about your bad debt provisions and if you see any more coming in the quarter. I know they were small, but just if you get some color going forward here.
You know, so we're obviously in this market, John. Credit management is a very strong focus of ours. It always has been, but, you know, we're in a heightened risk environment. You know, it starts with who do you work for? And so we have very rigorous credit processes, and, you know, so the only thing worse than not getting the work is getting it and not getting paid. So it goes to the comment I made where we have given up market share, where, you know, we have assessed credit risk and determined that we require some or all of the expected cost up front. And if in some cases customers appreciate that and will work, in some cases they don't or can't pay, and we're, you know, that's a business call you make. So a lot of it is avoiding extending credit to excessive credit situations, and then certainly you know, timely invoicing, account management and follow-up are critical. And you know, at a corporate level, we've been very involved over the past several quarters in assisting all of our divisions you know, with the credit management and collections piece. And so you know, we monitor that literally daily, and you know, we're continuing to work hard to minimize that expense. You know, that said, across all of our divisions, you know, we would have 500 to 600 customers, and you're bound to get some things wrong here and there. And so, you know, when we have reasonable evidence to suggest that it's not collectible, we provision for it.
Appreciate that.
comment on future periods other than to say we continue to be very diligent on that front.
Perfect. I know we talked about rentals a bit, but do you see a trough in pricing, or is it still too early to tell? I know it's little a little bit here in Q2. And
Certainly we're troughed. You know, the reality is we're going to have a very different competitive landscape a year from now. And what's going on in that market is astonishing. And, again, I think as the next several quarters play out, people like you as well as our customer base will realize the impact of what's going on currently will have on the medium to long-term supply chain. And it's not – it'll be positive for players like us that get through it, but there's a lot of cannibalization, just basically the fleet is going downhill, and as you work it harder and don't put money back in because you don't make any money, it just simply accelerates. And, again, you know, when you're running 30 rigs during Q2, you're not going to see it. But as we ramp up, our expectation is the quality of the asset base will start to really differentiate between operators, and I'm very confident that the quality of our asset base will command a premium price when we get into a busier environment.
Okay, great. I guess just touching on the last point, have you seen any pickup on bidding activity on the drilling side? Or
yes, we have. It's still very competitive. We have given up work based on price. And we know that 100%. You know, what I would say is there's various groups that claim to have Tier 1 equipment that are operating for Tier 5 pricing. And the only reason we lost the work is 100% on price. And we know that.
Okay, that's great. Just could you talk a little bit about your compression margins? They seem to be fairly resilient. And is this just a factor of your cost structure largely changing in lockstep with reduced pricing, or?
You know, we're in all our divisions. I'm very happy with the way divisional management has been proactive on cost management, and that includes our compression process side. You know, it's been a grind. You know, it's just old fashioned line by line cost management, and our divisional management and employee base have been very proactive and diligent in managing our cost structure. And so certainly, you know, our compression process group, no exception. And, you know, we continue to look at ways to be more efficient and get our costs down. And, you know, our customers benefit from that.
Moving back to Australia, just do you see any work on the service side, or are these contracts more just an export opportunity?
You know, so when I was down there 3.5 years ago, I met with a bunch of different onshore producers, and I'm hoping to go down as we kind of roll some of our big orders out here. You know, we had that discussion, and basically my message to these producers was once we have sufficient horsepower on the ground, we will look to provide appropriate parts and service support. But what we're not going to do is spend a bunch of time and money building an infrastructure to do nothing. In the meantime, we're quite happy to let competitors service our equipment in the short run. You know, we go and start it all up, you know, so we have people go over and start up and all that and on major overhauls. But as we build our horsepower fleet, they're very similar to what we've done in Canada. And the U.S., to a certain extent, is parts and service will follow horsepower. And the customers are happy with that.
Okay, and last one just for me. Did you see any cancellations in your fabrication backlog? I'm not sure if I misheard, but I thought I heard Julius talk about an $8.1 million cancellation.
Well, that's the one that we've been referring to the last several quarters. So that's still in our backlog because we have a valid contract. We're not going to repeat that verbiage in every press release. What I will say is, as Yulia mentioned, there's been zero revenue recorded on that contract, and we're not going to record any revenue until it's resolved. We've taken legal action, and we're not going to provide an update until that's resolved. And so we're pressing aggressively to move that forward to resolution. We're very confident in our position, and, you know, it's a U.S. midstream company that has, you know, they're a going concern, and we'll let the judge decide. Like I said, we're very these contracts are pretty black and white, and so you know, ultimately, once we have resolution there, we will provide an update to the marketplace.
Okay, great.
We have recorded zero revenue on that, and that's important for everyone to know.
Okay, great. Again, I appreciate the color. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Halleck.
Thank you. We appreciate your interest and participation in our conference call and look forward to speaking with you after our third quarter results. Have a good day.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.